heart rate is. Come on.
Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk in the House. How y'all doing out there? Hope everybody's doing well. Y'all got to hold on for a minute. I had to adjust the levels in my earpiece here, my headphones. All right, so what's What's going on? It's been a minute since we last had a conversation. Oh, man, we got a good one for you today. We're talking about Black history, man. And I got some views on it I'm going to express. And, of course, I expect you to express your feelings on it as well. And maybe together we can come with a togetherness on what Black history is really supposed to be. Yeah, I'll hold your lips, y'all. Y'all pro-Black people, hold your lips. It's okay. All right, anyway. So before we get started, let me go and tell you how you can be a part of the show. The first and easiest way is just call me, man. That's all you do. Pick up your phone, go 347-838-8622. Now, I must say I'm not responsible for any fees that you may encounter using your cell phone if you're on a plan with data. All right? I'm just going to put that out there now. So don't be sending me no emails talking about I need to pay your phone bill. Because it's not going to happen. Okay? All right, the next way is the chat room is open at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All right, just log in, make up a username, and get to chat and then type in. Yeah. And let's see, what's the other way? You can hit me on my email at ericletstalk@gmail.com. And I do try and answer back for the most part, but I try. That's all I can say, I try. Okay, and if there's any other ways you can communicate with me, you know how to do it. Now, I'm not even going to mention it. You feel free to do that as well. All right? And by any chance you have to leave somewhere in the show, just remember that the shows are archived, so you can always go back and listen to a full episode. And let's see, is there anything else? We're on Apple, we're on Facebook, we're on a couple of things. Just Google. It'll pop up now that we have all that good stuff out the way. Now that we have all that out the way, we can get to talking about some things. Hey, I see you, 345. You going to call in today? Anyway, so here we go. Let's start off with the music I played, because I'm sure there was an interesting reaction to both. The first one was Lift Every Voice and Sing. It's called the Black National Anthem. Okay. And of course, you know, the second one was Dr. Dre, you know, doing his thing in that episode. And of course, it was a remix for you people that really say that wasn't it. Yeah, it was a remix. Okay. But anyway, now, oh, by the way, that was those two songs there. They are my contribution to Black History Month. I'm going to put that out there now too, because that's about what goes on here with Black History Month. But anyway, let me get to these two songs. Lift Every Voice and Sing, as I say, is supposed to be the Black National Anthem, correct? Correct. Okay. So, when that song came on, how many of you stood up? How many of you just stood up and just for a moment stopped and listened to the song? Okay, they do it for the National Anthem, right? You do it for the National Anthem. And for my Black people, this is supposed to be your national song. And how many of you stood up for it? See, that's another interesting thing right there. How many of you stood up for that song, Lift Every Voice and Sing? But when I put Dr. Dre on the next episode remix, how many of you jumped up and started dancing? Huh? How many of you? It's all right. You can be honest. You can be honest about it. I know a lot of you did. Like, oh, that's my song right there. And some of you started walking and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. But you see the contrast in how we're taught to believe in certain things, right? Our national anthem, Black National Anthem, nobody really stands up. Nobody really knows what it is unless somebody mentions it beforehand. They just think it's a nice, calm, Black song. Old-timey song. But do you put Dr. Dre on, everybody up and moving and shaking and grooving and all that good stuff. So I just wanted to bring that contrast out right there. Because as I was picking songs before we came on the air, I was like, okay, what's I'm going to play? What I'm going to play? And I just had to find two different ends of the spectrum, I guess you can say. But yeah. Anyway. So I just thought I'd bring that one. Like I said, that was my contribution to Black History Month. Isn't it interesting, man, that Black History Month, we know it's part of the shortest, it is the shortest month of the year, but that's not why it was chosen to be Black History Month. Contrary to what all these conspiracy theories say, that's not why it was chosen, okay? If you want to know why it was chosen, hit me up. I'll tell you. And as you can see, you know, there's at the beginning of Black History Month and sometimes at the end, you know, usually in black churches or whatever, but usually throughout you have certain programs and things for Black History Month. But after that program, whatever is done, it's done. Nobody thinks about it anymore. Nobody really thinks about Black history anymore after February, the first couple of weeks of February. Now, I'm not saying that to be derogatory or mean, but I'm just telling you what the facts are. Now, here's another interesting thing. Yeah, because I... here's another interesting thing. You notice how all the politicians, they go and they sit up in these stands or what have you doing, these black historical plays and concerts and classes and things. And they sit up there so proudly and they'll get up there and say a little speech. Well, Black history should be a part of blah, 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 blah. And they say, oh, that's good stuff. But they get back in the chambers with their peers, and all of a sudden, no, 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 we're not doing the Black history teaching in the school. And to make people scared of it, we'll call it critical race theory. Yeah, because we got two key words in there, critical and race. Of course, if you look in the dictionary, it says a race is a competition, but hey, it is what it is. I know it says some more, but... that goes to show racism. Yeah. Anyway, I'm all over the place right now. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, isn't it interesting that they get up there and celebrate Black History Month, but won't allow true Black history to be taught in the schools? They get up there and they show the same movies every year. Then they started adding a few more now with some other black actors and actresses. But you can count on seeing Selma. What else? I mean, it's the old Malcolm X. Yeah. If you get certain channels, you can see a story on Martin Luther King Jr. It's the same old stuff. It really is. Hidden Figures now. Red Tails. Yeah. You know, and they show them over and over and over and over, as that is supposed to, you know, help alleviate their guilt. And maybe it is. I don't know. But the point is this. If you have to make such a profound attempt, yeah, we like Black history, or to say, no, you can't teach Black history in our schools, then don't you think maybe there is a problem somewhere? Logic would tell you that there's a problem somewhere if you have to work that hard to do either. Critical race theory. Do you know there are over 30 states, last time I checked, over 30 states that have enacted some type of legislation that keep critical race theory out of schools? Now, I'm going to ask a simple question, and it's going to be interesting around that level. Isn't Black history a part of American history? Just think about that. Right? Teach it. You don't want to hear about it. Why? Now, some say, well, it will teach the children, the non-colored children. Yeah, I said non-colored. It teach the white children to hate their country and hate themselves. No. That's not it. That's not it. You know, and the more they fight it, the more you realize that, yeah, there's some guilt there. There's a whole lot of guilt there. There's a whole lot of guilt to allow the real history of this country to be taught in the schools. Just that simple. I mean, this is Black History Month, so shouldn't something be taught? Do you know there's a, I forgot the school district. I was reading it last night. They sent a letter home to parents allowing them to opt out any Black History classes or programs that would be put on their school for this month. You see the craziness and all that? That is just crazy. But that is where we are as a society. That is where we are. Who would do that? Who would do that? Black history is American history. Yes, it is. Now, here's another little thing I thought of. You know, earlier as I was sitting down thinking about what I was going to talk about today. Yeah, if you really think about it, anyone born in this country is American, right? Okay. On your paperwork, your passport, it says American, right? A-M-E-R-I-C-A-N, American. So, if that is the case, then it should be a part of teaching in schools and, yeah, in schools. Yeah, it should be. Because it's American. They're American. We're American. Yeah, we like to be broken down it was in Brown County in Indiana. Thank you. We're Americans. Yeah, we're going to have our differences, of course. That's the natural order thing. We're going to have differences. But when you get to the point to where it limits our learning ability in order to keep from repeating what was such a disaster in the past. Now, I know some of you out there say, well, really, Mr. Talker, it wasn't really a disaster because look where we are today. Exactly. Look where we are today. Look where we are today. So I guess she answers the general question. But my point is this. We're all Americans, people. We're all Americans. We should be able to talk things out. We should be able to say, yeah, you have a point there. If you're wrong, just say you're wrong. Okay, just say you're wrong. But I don't know. I don't know. That's just the way I'm thinking about this Black History thing. I know, you know, I guess depending on the part of the country you live in, as far as your activities and what you have for Black History, and that's fine. You do y'all. Y'all do you. But then after that, you know, this kind of go back to the last show I was talking about. After that, what do you do then? Do you just go back to your whole drum daily activity? Do you go out and still try and teach Black history or just history, period? And you know what? And the more I say it, the more it resonates in my mind. You know, that's another one of them labels that get thrown out there, and everybody jump on the label, and they just forget the simple part of it, history. History. It should be the history of the United States of America, right? And we got Black history. Then we have Hispanic Heritage Week and Cinco de Mayo. And I'm not saying anything wrong about any of those. I know, because in all honesty, the same thing happens to all those as well. after it's over, it's over. Cinco de Mayo, you get drunk as you want to, and then what happens? You go back to work. So it's the simple things that we make so difficult. Yeah. All right. I see somebody's tired of me talking. So, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. Give me a call at 347-838-8622. Yay, come talk to me. Let me know what you think about Black History Month and Black History in general. Yeah, let's talk about this. Because I want to have the conversation. All right, P. Yankee, what's going on? I know you had your hand up early. What's up?
Well, you've been... Eric, we've been missing you, man. See, the thing is when you disappear and no one, we worry.
Well,
we
thank
worry
you,
something has happened.
Well, thank you, Pianke. No, nothing has happened. Been some computer glitches and a couple other things, but hopefully we got it straightened out now. But I'm back, okay? I'm back.
Well, Joe said you was probably down in the shelter thinking that the war between the Ukraine was going to kick off.
No, that's only the Air Force.
Last Wednesday.
No, that's only the Air Force boys. Us soldiers, we go to the battle. We don't run from them. But anyway, I know you ain't calling to talk about no nonsense like that. What else you got, Pianca? Somebody else want to come in. But what else you got?
Well, yeah, I do want to talk about that because Biden is, I know what it is. But if you look at the logistics of it, you don't want to be fighting a war against Russia in those territories because it would be very futile. Hell, Germany found that out.
Wait a minute, Pianca. I ain't talking about no war in no Ukraine between Russia and Ukraine. I ain't worried about them knuckleheads over there right now. My gas price is going high enough. I'm talking about Black History Month and Black History in general
being Black American history.
Yeah, being American history. Yeah,
well,
that's what I'm talking about.
It happened on U.S. soil. It should be American history. All the history should be good, and the characters that participated in it are just who they are. Well, here's the thing. Parents got to write what they – see, parents has a right to what their children are exposed to. And I'm going to tell you what has really brought this out. Is all this explicit material having to do with sex and gender and this, that, and the other. And you got things, you got materials showing up in your library that's really, really it's just terrible in your school libraries. And parents don't want their children to be exposed to this. Then when they go to their board meetings, they're labeled as terrorists. So it's going to be tit for tat. They're going to strike back. I mean, you know that.
You know
parents,
what?
It's the parents.
Wait a minute. Before you go any further, you're talking about explicit material. And I'm just in here thinking, you go to a museum and you got Greek statues up there.
No,
with
it's
naked
not.
Men and
it's
stuff.
No, that's not it.
I mean, worse than that. What do you mean worse than that?
It's telling people, it's telling kids what to insert their penis and their lips and fingers and showing spread eagle and all that. No, it's worse than that, Eric.
Those materials just suddenly appeared in the library over the last couple of years, right?
No, I tell
you
what.
And that is what created the problem.
In one school district, I think some parents took it out or either in the library and reordered and got more. Especially, and see, this has been going on for a long time because the first incident I heard was back in 2000 in Massachusetts in a school district. You know, you've heard me talk about it. And it's the infamous Fistgate Conference held on a Saturday in a school district where they bus students in as young as 12 years old into this conference where they had these breakout workshops, and they had all kind of explicit topics that was being discussed, like fisting and should I swallow or spit it out. So, no, that was very deplorable. Who would have ever thought? who would have ever thought? And they couldn't have had described it, and they did have an agenda, but the agenda wasn't made noticeable to the parents, because I don't think parents would have allowed their children to attend that a field trip or go to that school district for their workshop. I sure would have not allowed mine. So it started then that I can remember, and now it's just getting completely out of control now. And that's a parent's responsibility.
Okay.
Hey, you know, we used to watch TV programs, and they did not have audience ratings, G, PG, X.
That's true. That is true. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
I
no,
argue
it
with
don't
that.
Went to the wayside. All
but
of it
see,
don't went to
now,
the wayside.
But, yeah, but see, now that proves the point that it's just not just in the libraries or whatever. So why are you getting rid of these books?
Because it's in the schools. The schools.
It's in the
schools. I ain't talking about a public library. I'm talking about school libraries.
What? Okay. All right. Let me put it this way. You're talking about schools. Children today are more educated on sexual stuff than me and you ever probably will be right now. with terms and what's this and what's that than we were when we're in that age. So I don't see it. I think it's more of heading toward McCarthyism, you know, where all of a sudden if it doesn't conform with a certain guideline, then you're going to be considered a terrorist or communist or whatever kind of label they want to throw out to get the law passed, which they usually do. But that's what I'm seeing at the moment, how it's going. That's just my opinion.
You said that children nowadays. You said children nowadays. Well, that's just not – that's children who comes out of a household where you have unaccountable, unresponsible parents. Because it wouldn't happen in my household, in many households that I know of, wouldn't allow their children to knowingly – see, we're talking about knowingly have such mess.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that yourself. So we can't make those excuses. It's deplorable. You can't – see, folks don't want parents to express that type of authority over their child. And then that leads to another incident, another area – the lack of authority that we see out in the public. That goes back to the house. If you don't have authority respected in the home, when that child goes to school, it shows. And when they finally come out of school, it further shows because it's plastered all over the news with these interactions.
All right. We're going to hold it up right there. Got some other hands up I got to bring in. Oh, she made it today, y'all. This is what I'm talking about. My co-host is in the house. P. Ross, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well.
Outstanding.
Just a couple of things. You know, you're talking about Black history and critical, so-called critical race theory. I mean, my question is, a theory is something that you believe, not a fact, number one. Okay. Critical means that it's detrimental to people or to your psyche or what have you. I don't think Black history is can be described that way. It's not a theory because it is a fact. Now, the conditions that Black people had to endure in this country, those were critical. Those were horrible. But at the same time, we can learn about World War II. We can learn about the Holocaust, and that's not called critical race theory. That's always accepted as a fact. They show the pictures of the emaciated bodies that were thrown in mass graves and all of that. They still show the slaughterhouses and the gas chambers and all of that. It's in books. It's in history. Kids are still being taught about that. But when it comes to African-American history, as some of y'all like to say, or Black history, whatever you want to call it, because Black is actually a color. It's not a damn race, you know. And all of our ethnicity for people of color is not African. There were people, there were slaves brought here from the Caribbean and everywhere else. Number one, I just want to get that out there as well. But the thing about it is this right here. You want to call this critical race theory when it is basically what our ancestors lived through. You know, and that some of those who fortunately that are still living, you know, can recall. So it's not a theory. It's the truth. And why is it that that can't be taught to this generation? It's not horrific. It's not an abomination or whatever. Yeah, it's going to open the eyes of some people, but it's going to help them understand where they come from. I have Jewish friends and Jewish people I talk to, and the one thing that they teach their children, they know every generation of their family, name by name, back from the beginning, as far back as they can remember. That is taught to their children. Our history like that was lost to us. We only know what our grandparents said, or as far back as our grandparents, because there was a time when the black man wasn't allowed to even be a part of his family. They took measures to separate him from his family. See, so that's not critical race theory. That's just true. That is what has happened to people of color in this country. So as it was before, you know, you don't want us to know our history. You don't want our children to know our history. It can't be taught in your school. See, and that's probably the problem. We need our own school. Think that, you know, when Dr. Martin Luther said that segregation was the worst mistake that could have been made, you know, was when we started intermingling the races, when we started combining everything, you know, getting rid of segregation, because we had our own communities. We took care of each other. After that, you know, it was an issue. It was has always been a competition against us and them. Look at it how you want to look at it, but that is honestly the truth. It has always been a competition between us and them. I saw a post on Facebook, and I don't know if y'all remember her, Saria Bonnelet. She was the first, she was from France, first woman of color. I don't want to say black because she was French, you know, woman of color, you know, to do a quadruple axel, to do a black backflip on skates. And she was discriminated against because they said nobody, no other skater could do that. We just saw the same thing with Simone Biles. No, nobody else can do that. So they lowered the score. Why? These people are the same athletes, the same Olympians, representing their country to the best of their ability, but they get penalized because the color of their skin, because you're saying because they're black or because they're women of color, that nobody has the genetic aptitude to do what they do. That's a lie.
Uh-oh. I hear it coming.
That's a lie. And then you have this point built up from slavery days where, oh, well, black people don't feel pain. So when you go for medical treatment, and versus your Caucasian counterparts, they're in a fight to give you pain medication, because either you got to be an addict or you're not really in that much pain. And this is not me. Actual doctors have said that. There have been reports documented that doctors actually are taught that and they believe that. So let's really talk about who are the real Americans, who are perceived as. I hear what you're saying. Aren't we all Americans in name only? That's the only thing that I can say about it, in name only. In name only. But as far as recognition, on a day-to-day basis, no. Yeah, we get some of the perks of being Americans, you know. We get the so-called freedom. But let's be real. We got to still fight for everything, for every come up that we get. We got to fight on the job.
But how can you say that? We just had a black American president. How can you say that?
And what does that mean?
That means we have come, we have reached the pinnacle.
Let me ask you a question about our friend Paul Black. What the hell did he do for African Americans throughout his 8 years? Let's just be real.
What was he supposed to? He had a whole country to run.
He just couldn't sit back and look out for one group of people. No. You're right. He couldn't just sit down and just fight for one genre or of people. But just as you selected this select culture group that you gave them all these rights, you could have did a little bit more than what you were doing. You could have, those people who were surrounding you and dictating to you and telling you to do this and do that and do this and do that, you could have stood up and say, well, no, I'm not going to do that. This is this, this, and this. I understand you being in a box. I understand how politics go. I understand that. And not only him. Not only him. It's those persons of color in the Senate, in Congress, in your local community that come out and solicit the black vote and then all the promises that they made to these communities, it flips. Oh, well, I couldn't do that. Number one, African-American voters need to quit falling for the foolishness, number one. and go back and actually study the candidates that they're putting in office. See how they voted. See where they really stand. Educate yourself on what their platform truly is, and not continue to go for the whitewash, for the smoke screen. That's your fault. Yeah, I will admit the black community does have some responsibility, and yes, they do need to educate themselves better. Yes, because. What has happened is people are just falling for status quo, just doing enough to get by. And that's where it is. Nobody's looking out for anybody else. I'm just doing enough to get by for me. and to answer P. Yankee about these children and all this stuff that they're learning, you can monitor. Only monitor your children so much in your household. Your children have peer pressure. Your children have friends. They have access to internet that you don't even know about, and they may not even mention it to you, but I will guarantee you that every child in every household does something that their parents did not teach them, that their parent does not agree with. They don't get everything from the household. Especially in this era of social media. See, so it's not always solely the parents' fault. No, it's not. At some point in time, that child, that teenager, that young man, that young woman has to take responsibility for themselves. It is not their parents' fault.
Mm. All right. Okay.
You know,
okay, make it quick, Pianki, because I got somebody else want to come in.
I have a nephew in high school, and he logged on in the high school library a fight that he wasn't supposed to be on. They called his father, and his father called me and told me to go over there, and he did do it. So we were on top of it. But it still gets down to this. If parents don't want their child to be exposed to this stuff, of these things, that's their responsibility to say no. No one's stopping. I don't know school, no place, district where blacks can't have a black history for their children. I don't know any. If parents want, and you know, I think some of that stuff, because in some classrooms you got a diverse population. What happened to the churches they used to do? Ray Hagin started in his church to his members, so maybe they need to get a little bit more and put some of those things into the community through churches and organizations than what they're doing now. Very much.
Mm. Oh, he threw the churches in there. Oh, oh, talking about being divisive. Oh my goodness. Okay, but I got other people coming in. We'll get on that in a little bit. All right, come on, Mace. You got the floor now.
Oh, I can give my piece for what I think about this wellness that's going on in this world. First of all, Joe Biden John Lewis Act, why we don't have it? Is it because of Joe or the Congress?
Well, it's because of one side of Congress anyway, but go right ahead.
Oh, that's what I'm trying to say. So when Obama was in office, they could never get enough votes. These same people, the Democrats and the Republican, Caucasian people, are together. Because when you say, you look at history, they want to take the history out of the history out. I said, okay, they took their statues down, so they're mad about that. And when you talk about Black History Month, you got some black people want to focus on something else except what's really going on. So now when it comes to health, who's at the bottom of the list? When it comes to a job, who's at the bottom of the list? But they don't tell us these things, and then we're going to sit here and follow it. We need to stop listening and following what they got to tell us to do. They don't follow this Republican Party the whole time they've been in there. What have they done? Exactly what the Republican told them to do as Democrats. You don't have the John Lewis Act, and you don't have nothing that the man promised. He said that black people owe him. He can't pay them because of what? Of that Congress. And they're mad because Kamala is the vice president. I'm not mad because I don't have nothing to do with it. Is if you go out and vote. If you didn't vote, you voted. I ain't going to try to teach nobody to hate nobody. And if you want to look at their history, they are ashamed of their history, and they always talk about their kids. Everybody's history we had to go through and all of the things that the kids we have had to go through, the classroom and things to see, just like they can't even admit what they would have did in that Capitol. They say that what didn't happen. So now they're going to say they didn't do nothing to black people back in those days. And you got fools walking around trying to ignore it, act like it didn't happen, like they got amnesia. Because they don't want to face the truth. I always talk about their children. But think of the things that our children had to go through and see. And some of them still alive to tell the story. And what's happening now, they can research and see what's out there. They don't need nothing out of no classroom to find out. But some of the things that were put in the classroom, they didn't know themselves. And that's why you see all this hatred. That when they was hanging people, you have some of these in office now that were sitting around looking at them. That's why they don't want no lynching law. And all of the things that will strain stuff out, they don't want that. And you find people like Pianki, and they got a lot of them around. I was watching some video about, like, in 1928, a man was just like Pianki doing the same thing, stepping fishing. And that's what's in the way, too, taking up his word. And, like, the latest, if I could think of the name of it, I guess if you were watching, you'd be surprised and shocked. It sounds just the same thing Pianki said. And the thing that was in there, they sound the same way today as they did then. I'm like, what the heck? It seems like we're still in 1928. And how they did the black people. And then they had things. So if we find a way to get rid of some of this stuff that they're putting out and stop following them during Republicans, because they ain't about nothing, because how you going to have don't they have black people in their districts, too, that they voted for them? And so the people, people like Pianki them, they look bad because they ain't there for them either. But then they're going to run around and tell you what you need to be doing and what you need to be doing and no fathers in the house. I guess those people that was up there at that Capitol had fathers and mothers in the house and made them go do what they did. And that's why I'm still trying to figure out why they can't accept what they did, that it was a crime. And the man that was there as president was a part of it, too. He had a mother and a father. And what did his niece say about him? So I always have to be a mother and a father in the house for somebody to get something straight or do wrong. So that's what I'm looking at. And the Black History Month, the reason why they're not celebrating anymore, because they can't make no money off us no more. When money was being made, it was a whole month. But since people started spending money on themselves and with each other, it stopped. That's what happened to the thing. The marketing is gone for them. Anytime the market is gone for them, they don't have nothing else to do with it. So remember, they used to do all kinds of things during Black History Month. You cannot erase Black history. I don't care what you do. Because there's somebody out here still can tell the story. And some people that live through it, and some of the stupid stuff that they're going through now, and it's just like you closed your eyes and went back in time. And that's a shame. Those that were standing at the Sunday evening hangings when they got out of church are still some of the ones that are still around. Just like when they killed that boy in Georgia. Those three, they murdered him, but they didn't want to call it a murder. And all the stuff you see happen then is happening now. Like I say, every 40 years, but if they see what their history is and what they did, their children probably won't want to be like them. Because a lot of them don't want to be like their parents. And they'll tell you what their parents are. And they don't want to be that way. But then they want to erase it and act like they didn't do it. So that's the way I see it. And that's my point of view of what I think about what's going on now. So I'm going to be quiet.
All right. All right. Well, thank you, Maze, as always. Maze, throw some points out there. Hey, we got to check it out. But she Maze on point on this one. I can't really complain. Let me bring the next call in. All right, Triple One, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Miss Brady, hello there, Mr. Tom, and show members, and show listeners and talkers. You know, I agree with Maze completely and P-Ron completely. And, well, you know, if you deny something happens, if you ignore it, if you minimize it, if you say it's a lie, if you don't speak about it, if you don't put it down in history, you try and erase it, then you're not charged with changing things, making recompense. You don't have to talk about reparations. You don't really have to change how things go. So employment stays the same. Educational attainment stays the same. Career mobility same. Predatory loans given to Black people stay the same. See, nothing really changes. And so white supremacy keeps rolling on as it's supposed to do. And then secondly, you know,
I got an echo, Miss Lady. Miss Lady, you got an echo. Turn something down. Turn the radio down.
Let me try and see. I'm on my Bluetooth, and maybe I'm in an area where is this better?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better. That's better.
Okay. Okay, I walked away from where I was sitting. So everything stays the same, and white supremacy keeps rolling as it was meant to do and planned to do. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to address anything. You certainly don't have to talk about it. And making real changes, like this guy suing Mr. Flores suing the NFL because of all of the discrimination and the unfair employment practices by the three teams that he had coached for. So, you know, just minimize it, deny it, talk about it, take it out of the history books, all of that, and it's just part of the plan. So things can keep rolling on as it has. There was another point I wanted to make, but now I can't think of what it is. Black History Month was dedicated to Black history and the history of Blacks in this country. Now it's morphed into diversity and multiculturalism. So now you have other groups that are being focused on. They are participating in Black History Month. So, you know, all the other ethnic groups that have nothing to do with the Black and history in this country. And you have, you know, Martin Luther King Day is now morphed into Environmental Day. Well, let's go clean up the seashore and pick up the trash and because it's harming, you know, the sea life, clean up the public parks. That's what it's morphed into, quite a bit of it. So this is just part of the plan. In terms of Obama, that's just the cost of doing business, according to Neely Fuller Jr., because, you know, they just have to take a loss every now and then. So, yeah, make him president, but tie his hands, you know. But, you know, hey, that's just how it goes. So that's pretty much all. I just wanted to, you know, say I co-signed to Maze and T-Ross, and everybody knows it. Doesn't take rocket scientists. Everybody knows what, as they say, what time it is and what the agenda is. So that's pretty much it.
What time is it? You say everybody knows what time it is. What time is it?
Oh, it's white supremacy time. All the time. Oh, every minute of the hour.
Oh, that's what it is?
It never
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Even.
And you know.
Oh wow.
You hand out some time or opportunities. You know, can you make the best of what you're given or allowed to do? You know, and sometimes you persevere in spite of all the obstacles, and you're able to make something out of it. But hey, you know, do what you can within the system.
Okay. So basically, that's why the answer May's question, that's why we don't have the John Lewis Voting Rights Act passed yet, because it's not time to hand out another crumb to us to make us the pacify us, basically what you're saying. You know, every now and then they give us a crumb here and there. So that basically that's what you're saying.
Just wait till the election time. They'll come to your popular black church and stand up there and make a little final speech. And, you know, they don't even stick around for a chicken dinner. But, hey, they'll get folks back up, you know, in line voting for them. You know, you might have little incremental steps. You'll have little incremental steps, but nothing that's going to really change the living conditions, present and future, of black people in this country, bottom line. You'll get a few little crumbs, you can make little incremental steps, but you're going to have to fight now. You're going to be targeted if you're about anything of real value, and you're not a coon, and, you know, you're doing the best you can under the circumstances. Just expect to get targeted. That's just part of it, part of living. But hopefully, you can, you know, network, you can get support on your side to make put something positive out there in the world to help people. Even if it's just sharing information that they can perhaps benefit from. You may not be able to employ them. You may not be able to, you know, give them loans and get them into certain colleges, but you can share information that may be able to help them get there. And hopefully it'll just keep, you know, it'll grow. It'll grow from people. They will also do that. And not do what a lot of folks do, is keep information for themselves and try to benefit selfishly only for themselves and theirs and don't care about other folks.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Miss Lady, for that. Let's bring Mays back in. All right, Mays, talk to me. You want to explain some things. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. When I'm saying you didn't have enough votes, it's meaning what I'm saying. The Congress couldn't give you enough votes on nothing that the other president, Obama, was trying to pass. Joe Biden can't get enough votes because of his own. He got the House and the Senate. Obama had the House and the Senate. I'm not talking about no crumbs. I'm talking about when Joe Biden promised. Obama didn't promise nobody nothing. Joe Biden promised what he was going to do. And when it comes to infrastructure. Now, they got together and they went and did the infrastructure together. I was saying, now they're doing infrastructure. What are they going to do for somebody? The roads and bridges they're going to build, you're going to have to pay to drive on. But the other bill that they didn't pass. Build Back Better, they didn't pass that because they couldn't get enough votes. That's what I'm talking about when you can't get enough votes for everybody.
But you know, looking at the history of presidents, politicians, and their promises, I mean, what does that say about us if we really expected any of that to happen? Let's not mention he promised to get rid of student debt. You know, he promised to get rid of student debt.
But Mr.
So,
Trump,
you really expect that's going to happen? No.
No, he said that. He said he wasn't going to do them both together. But did he do them both together? No, he didn't. He should have held on to the one that they passed until he got the other one. But he didn't do it because they're looking at each as who they are. Not because of our color, not because of anybody else that didn't look like them as president, that they are the ones that are holding America back and what America needs to have is what I'm trying to say. And I'm not trying to get no brownie points from nobody because I speak and say what I feel and what I think. Everybody will think the way they want to. That's their business. But when I say it, you're not getting a no vote like Harry Reid didn't give him. So is it the Congress or is it the president when people don't get things? Mm. We still don't have enough votes to get in there. The John Lewis Act was started way before this Congress. I don't know how many years he's been trying to get that act through. As long as he's been there, I guess. And it hasn't been done under none of the presidents.
I believe since the 80s.
Hey, Eric, I got a question.
And also when they wanted money for the war.
Hold on.
When they
I'm trying to give you brownie points if that's what you're thinking. I'm just what
are you trying to say? I'm talking to Mr. Rock. We're just talking. I can't understand.
Okay, hold on. Let Mays finish.
When they want
okay.
money for the military, when they want money for the military, they can do that together. But when it comes to anything else, they cannot vote together to get nothing for the people. And our money is being spent helping to do everything they need to get done. But when it comes to war and when it comes to roads and bridges, they can go together and do that. Anything else, no, they can't get no vote for. That's why I don't understand. Because it can't pass without the Congress and the Senate, can it?
No.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. So if we put it in, if we think and see and study and look and see what's happening, we'll see it that way too.
Hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So if anybody got it the wrong way, that's mine. I can't help it. Okay.
All right. Thank you, man.
Can I quickly
all right.
say something yes. before you see our team, just quickly? I'm not trying to give brownie points to anybody, but if I agree with them, you know, I agree with what they're saying. So I'll just stop doing saying that. But the thing is, secondly, I don't think he said he would get rid of student loan debt. I think he dangled a carrot in front of people, and that's what they projected their wishes on. I don't think he actually said, I'm going to get rid of student loan debt. I don't remember him saying that. But maybe someone else knows. I'm done. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. That was one of his promises, though.
Yes, it was a promise. The Supreme Court Justice promised to help him.
Wait a minute, Maze. Okay. You're jumping ahead. All right.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Pianki.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with the lady that made mention about the carrot.
Oh, God.
Some people you can raise, some who ain't even rabbits, you can raise carrots in front of them, and they'll go for. But here's the thing that's the inaccuracies. Federal government don't pay entirely for school for roads and bridges. States have to pay half of that or maybe more. If the state that you live in don't want that, they don't have to take it. Another point. The John Lewis bill, what does it say? Have anybody read it? It sounds good, but have nobody read it.
Can I respond, Mr. Paul, when he finished?
Now, here's the point. The Constitution gives authority of what goes on as far as the election. That goes on to the state. It's Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1. And I read, the time, places, and manner of holding election for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. Now, if they having that problem in Georgia, then straighten it out in Georgia. Why you want to bring Wyoming, Colorado, Missouri into it? It's a local problem that you say that people can't drink water while they're standing in line. Well, straighten that out. And, you know, here's another point that I just don't understand. Fulton County, Georgia is majority black. Matter of fact, when you look at these people on the election commission, Liz Hossman, Bob Ellis, Lee Morris, they white. District 1, 2, and 3. But 4, 5, and 6, Natalie Hall, Marvis Appington, and Khadijah Abdul-Akman, they're black. And Rob Pitt, the chairman, he's black. His telephone number is 404. 613-2330. Call him up and ask him if he's black. So you mean to tell me, hang on, it's a public number. You mean to tell me that blacks are discriminating against themselves?
Hello?
Come on, now that just don't make any logic. It's twisted logic. Go ahead, Mr. Hall. Thank you.
Can I respond to what he just said?
Go ahead, Mays.
Okay, so we're talking about voting. Now, Alabama is going to have what had two people in a black district where it was sent two people to Congress as representatives. So what do you think they did? It won't happen now. They want to wait to the next election because of what reason?
It's not
the
numbers.
Thank you. So we always, and then when you discuss the same thing that's being done to black people, and it's always our fault, and then you say, like, look at the mayors and all of this crime going on in the cities. But you don't talk about the states, the crime that's going on in the state, but you want to look at the cities because the mayors are black. What's going on in the state? You don't never hear the governors to speak about nothing happening in those cities, and they're governor over the state. And so, again, then in Texas, the things that they're doing there, you know what they're doing there. Absentee ballots and telling people that they can't vote and they've been voting for years and old people and all this stuff. Why are they doing all of this? That's what anybody with can think should be asking those questions. Not going around with this independent stuff and it ain't matter to nothing. So if you took a civic election and you know your civics, you know what's going on and you're looking to see what the Congress and what they're supposed to be doing, the House and the Senate. And the things that they stop because they're part of it. They don't want to see it happen and they don't want to see no change. And because when they redistricted and stuff, who's redistricting and all this stuff and they going to court for? Is it black people taking them to court or somebody else? So when you get lost in your thoughts and this secondhand news coming out with it and repeating it, some people don't listen to it. They do what they think and use what's behind their eyes. Okay.
Okay.
Can I respond to that, Mr. Talk, please?
Go right ahead, P. Yankee. Go ahead and respond to it.
Thank you very much. And I was going to get right back to it. The U.S. Congress has no authority controlling redistricting. That's a state's responsibility, as spelled out by the U.S. Constitution. John Lewis's bill cannot apply for the entire nation. It can only apply for Georgia. Do you guys understand how this stuff works?
If it passed by the Congress, it's going to go to the entire state.
It's unconstitutional. Congress cannot override the Constitution.
Nope. That's the talk. If that's the case, why was Lizzie Graham over there in Georgia in their business?
Because he's a damn fool.
Oh, really?
Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1. And can we I was quiet while she was talking.
I'm finished, but I just had to say, Lindsey Graham and a whole lot more people was over there in Georgia in their business and had no business, and they ought to run out of state.
I was quiet.
And even the president was even in it. So now I'm going to answer that one, Pionke.
Okay.
I was quiet while they were talking.
Go ahead, Pionke.
Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1 of the United States Constitution tells you the power of do you know who gives the federal government its powers? It's the states give the federal government its powers. It gives the power to the federal government by way of your U.S. senator and your House of Representatives. They answer to their state. So John Lewis' bill, and if you read it, it don't mention anything any whatsoever about black folks. It talks about Hawaiians and Native Americans, if they mention an ethnic group. Read these things. I know it sounds very exciting. I know it sounds that excitement brings about this emotion, but read.
You need to read. It's
out there. All right. Hold on, Maze.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You know, it's interesting. I'm listening to both of you. And y'all talking about the same thing, on different levels, believe it or not. Y'all really are, especially when it comes to voting and who represents what and who can do this and who can do that. And, you know, with some of this redistricting, it's just interesting that it's done. I know it's supposed to be a certain period it's done, but the way it's done is you know, in a lot of places, is it limits minorities polling places and the areas, you know, compared. I think that is the problem. In other words, you know, it's like, okay, we move their polling place, you know, maybe 10, 20 miles down the road and most of the community don't have their own private transportation. Now, with that being said, Pianchi, a couple of weeks ago on a show, I said the same thing. Instead of, you know, continuing to fight and complain about redistricting, be proactive and work to fix it before it becomes an issue. That's my thing, you know, before anybody else
but
can,
you know
can
what,
ruin it, fix it. I mean, it makes sense to me.
You said,
be proactive.
To be all respectful to you, the placement of polling places is controlled by that electoral commission in those districts. Fulton County has its own electoral commission. They're the one that controls the placement of polling places.
You're right.
That's not the federal government.
I didn't say it.
Let me finish. I know, but let me finish, please. I only come around once every 6 months. These people right here, these people right here, who the chairman is Rob Pitt. His telephone number is 404-613-2330. You can call him up and ask him. His office is at 141 Pryor Street, Southwest 10th floor, there in Atlanta. Liz Hoffman, Bob Ellis, Lee Morris, Natalie Hall, Marvin Appington, and Khadija Abor. And also, when it comes to redistricting, that is a bipartisan group that sits down and decides on what's going to be what. That ain't no one group of people that's doing that. And you know another thing, too. You talk about the John Lewis bill. Blacks don't make up no majority in no state. I mean, can we agree on that? So no. You mean to tell me that whites are making up laws that's going to restrict their liberties like that? I can't believe that. I really can't.
You really do find that hard to believe?
After
history have shown to be different?
No, we talk about today in 2022. There's no state in this union where blacks are a majority.
Really?
So that means that if a law is passed, it's not, if it passed or don't pass, it ain't going to affect blacks peculiar anyway. They don't make up that much pop. And you know another thing, Nigerians and some other Africans in this country are black. You never hear them complaining about this. And all black Americans don't complain about it.
You're the one that's born in this country and complain about it because they don't know what's
going
on. There
we go, talking over me.
That's on words.
I'm
not talking. You need
I stand back, Mr.
Yourself.
Talk.
Please do.
What?
So, Mr. Talk, I'm asking you the question, Mr. Talk. I want to see what your opinion is. What do you think of the opinion that the Supreme Court had to step in and get rid of some of the things that they took them to court for over voting? Why did they do that? Because of the states or because of the states weren't doing anything? Are they the one that's trying to change stuff? Is it the government or is it the federal or is it the states that's doing this that's being sued or taking stuff to court? That's what I want to know.
The states. It's the states that's taking it to court.
Yeah, because of what?
Because of redistricting. They're claiming that it's illegal, yeah. And some of the changes that have been acted by the state legislators toward, you know, this the voting coming up. Yeah, the voting cycle that's coming up now. You know, like if they're standing outside, you can't give them water. I really don't see the logic in that. You know, that makes no sense to me.
And the rejection rate.
Some water,
you know what
that
is. And the rejection rate that they're doing. What do you think about that, Mr. Paul? The rejection rate of people that's been voting and they can't vote now.
You know what? And it's easy. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about those cases here in Texas where some of the mail-in ballots are being rejected. Well, you know, honestly, to give you my honest opinion, looking at the top from the point of view on top, and I want to be complaining about it, yeah, it's a problem. They shouldn't be doing it. However, looking at the logical side of this thing, in order to keep from happening what happened on January 6th, it's a good thing they rejected them so they can correct whatever mistakes they have on their voting applications, and then they won't have no problem when the general election come in November.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's true. That's true, Mr. Talk.
But if they did it now and they still did it, but it's not right and it's against the law, it should be against the law, shouldn't it? If you've been voting for years and then they're rejecting you and then you coming up just because of a short election to get somebody in that they want in at this moment, but by December come when time to vote and they done did what they wanted to do to keep people out from going to the polls to knock some people out that shouldn't be going there. So it's too late then.
Well, Mace, you know, it's easy to look at it like that, but no, it's not. Because once you make that correction, it's easy to go and check and make sure your information is correct. You can go down to your voting office and get that information. You can go on right there online and find out if your information is correct. So to say that's a problem, that's because no, that's just some people got to get off their bus and make sure their information is correct if they are interested in voting.
But I'm saying I'm not talking about December. I'm saying the primary. If they're not people out doing the primary and they know they're supposed to be, and then you got to wait to do something until the next election comes, and not some people out the primary, that's why they're doing it.
Well, Maze, okay. Look, the primaries are basically used. Okay, just a minute, Pianki. The primaries are basically used to choose who the party candidate going to be for the general election. Okay, and when you go to the polls, most of them I know here in Texas, you're only going to be given a. You're only going to be given a choice of Republican or Democrat. Those are the only candidates you're going to see during the primary most of the time. I know it's like that here in Texas. So you have nothing else to do, you see. But that is the time to make sure your voting information is correct. And now when it comes to the general election, usually in November, then, bam, that's when you get a complete ballot of everybody that's running and you make your choices because the party would have been selected whoever they want to run at that time.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I was saying, the primary. What if it's somebody that you don't want to even make it through the primary, and then you go to vote and you can't go to do anything to knock them out the way? And all of a sudden, by December, everything's straightened out, but it shouldn't have straightened out before that.
Well, Mace, you know, it happens. Well, I mean, want me to say? It happens.
No, I was just saying how they work things in behalf of to keep those criminals and stuff there.
But Mace, let's look at this. Isn't it easy to take that route and say, yeah, they don't, but if your information is updated and correct and you go and attempt to vote and you go and vote, then what is the problem? Now, if it's not, then you still have a chance to vote during that thing if you go ahead and correct your form. So, those excuses right there, they sound good on the outside, but when you dig deeper, they don't hold any weight. Now, go ahead, Pianki.
So what you're saying is what the people should do. They shouldn't wait till the last day because they know primary is coming. Is that I thought you were saying that. And you know something else, too. One of the discussion was the recognition of signatures. People who made their application 40 years ago. Do you think that the signature going to change between 40 years ago and the last election? So, yes, they should go back and have things updated. It only makes common sense. Nobody can wear that dress, that party dress, that club dress that they wore 40 years ago. So would they not go try to get another one? And you know another thing, too. Nobody said, no place, and I read Georgia reform law, no place, Eric, did it say that people can't have water while standing in line.
No. I didn't say Georgia. I didn't say Georgia.
Wait a minute. No, well, I'm talking about John Lewis's bill. It does say that you cannot pass out material, whether it's a water bottle, that's canvassing. You know what canvassing is, don't you? You cannot canvass in a line leading to the poll. Canvass is when a candidate is passing out material with their information, picture, and vote for me. You can't do that. And you know in Missouri, they pay you to go vote. Blacks are paid to go to vote in Missouri. The state law says a voter is supposed to have 3 hours before the polls open and close. Well, quite naturally, the polls open at 6:00, so they ain't gonna have the 3 hours before that.
Right.
But if they at work and they get off at work at 4:30, they have to get off from work at 4:00 and they have to be paid. So they paid a half hour because 4 to 7 is 3 hours. They are paid. Blacks and everybody else are paid to go vote in Missouri.
Just like when they go to court, they get paid.
Yeah, see, you said they are paid. So let's talk about how they are paid. Are they paid? In other words, they get off to go vote, but they're still on the clock at their jobs, correct?
When
so
I pay when my employees, when I let
or
my employees off,
is the state paying them? Is the state paying them?
No, let me tell you. Let me tell you. I, as an employer, my employees that normally got off at 4:30, I had to let them off at 4:00, and they're still on the clock. They got paid. If they was paid $40 an hour, $50 an hour, or $70 an hour, I paid them that half hour. They got paid $35. They got paid $25.
Okay.
They got paid $20.
Okay.
See how simple that is when you have somebody who can answer.
He in the whole state. Is this the whole state or just you?
Well, he said Missouri.
He
did say Missouri.
Let me find that information. Where do I find it?
It's like that. It's like that here too in the state of Florida. Now I know working with the state. I don't know about private companies. I know working with the state of Florida. Yes, you do get time off to go to vote. You can either go before you go to come in to work when the polls open at 7 and take that time and do it, or you can go after work. It's totally up to you. Whatever time it's not a certain time of day. Or you can go on your lunch break. You can go on your lunch break and take that extra time
mm-hmm.
to go in. It's just totally up to you. But it's
absolutely right.
It's allocated as paid leave time, not paid time to vote. It's allocated as paid leave time. That's what it's
well, in Missouri, you get paid. In Missouri, Missouri is paid vote. You know what? I wouldn't live in a hick state that didn't allow that.
The same as it is if you get jury duty. You are paid on your job to go to attend mm-hmm. jury duty. However, if the county, municipal court, or whatever court that you're going to, you get to be a juror, and they're paying you each day with the state of Florida, you had to turn those checks into the state of Florida in order for you to receive your salary pay, your compensated salary pay each hour for the amount that that you work for. Let's say you're making $15 an hour, and the court only pays you, what, $20 for that day. You take that check, you turn it into your finance department, your supervisor, whatever, and you get however many hours you was there, you get your $15 an hour for that. But you can't have both.
That's
because
great.
Double indemnity. So you have to turn
that's
check
great.
In. If you don't turn that check in, then you don't get paid. So, yeah, it's paid leave time. It's a special provision under paid leave time. I don't think you false.
That's
that,
great.
Yeah.
In the state of Florida, that's great.
Yeah, we have that, you know.
Now, in Missouri, like I said before, the employee pays their employer. The employer pays their employee for the time that they allow the be off in order to accomplish that 4 hours before the polls close. Polls close at 7 o'clock in the state of Missouri.
Right,
and therefore,
right.
employee has to be off by 4 o'clock.
That's right.
But also contingent with that, you have to provide proof that you voted. That's the thing. You have to provide proof.
You're absolutely right. They got to get their little tag that says, I voted.
I voted. And also, they can go back, you know, because some people have been caught like this, you know, taking
uh-huh.
other people out with little stickers. And they went
mm-hmm.
back because voting records are public. It shows what they
mm-hmm.
voted on.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that lawyer
that.
Can go back and look and see
yeah.
if you actually voted
mm-hmm.
and said
bitch.
Because it will show you voting activity. That is the record.
Let's
see. Who, baby?
I don't know. It's not mine.
Eric's.
Okay, well, he need to put in her somewhere. He wanted to say something. I don't know.
Sound like he
but
just
anyway,
got full and burped and going to sleep.
As we are discussing, as it pertains to Black History Month, I can say this when we're talking about the area of voting. People of color, Black Americans, African Americans, whatever you want to refer to themselves as. They don't take voting as seriously as they used to. You know, like I was saying earlier, you know, nobody researches the issues. Nobody reads the amendments. If somebody say, just like, you know, Pianchi was saying, you know, you cannot solicit your campaign material outside of a voting venue. You're not supposed to do that, whether it's on a bottle of water or on a backpack or whatever. You are not allowed to do that here in the state of Florida, but so many feet away from the voting poll. Now, you can
yep.
be out there on the street and doing it, but people
mm-hmm.
standing in line, you are not allowed to do that.
Yes.
But
it's still the same
thing. The thing is that The problem with our community, a lot of times, and I know y'all might disagree with me, but I have seen this because I've been a poll worker, I've been a canvasser, I've been all of that. The problem is that people come with a list of candidates showing you how to vote. They actually have the ballot and sample of the ballot showing you how to vote. And a lot of African-American people, black people, people of color, whatever, they go rope right down that list. They get that, and they go right in with it, and they vote exactly, whether it's a Democratic ticket, whether it's a Republican ticket, or whatever. They go right down that ticket and vote like that. They have not done any research. They have not looked into the issues or any of that. They will go by word of mouth. And that's a travesty, because you don't even know what this amendment means. And then, and it passed.
And you know what, ma'am?
And it actually was somebody gave you a piece of paper and told you to vote this way, and you don't even know that it's detrimental to your own community.
That is so true.
And you know what, ma'am?
But sometimes they have the opposite of what it's supposed to be. What is that? The right to work. They were thinking when in some places when they went to vote for that, they were thinking they had the right to work. And then nobody explains it to them, and then you hear them talking about it, and if you're not astute enough,
exactly.
We're doing the right to work.
That's my point. You're not reading what's being said. Exactly. You're not understanding it. And you just, because somebody say vote yes on this, you do.
Or either like when they want to say they
and
want
sometimes
to do,
when people show up at the poll into I've seen it at these black polling places. It probably goes on white ones too. You come walking up there with your list. You don't know whether a person done research or not. But that poll worker snatched that list out your hand and replaced it with their material. They do that.
I don't know about all that.
That's voter intimidation. It's what it is.
I don't get why everybody can't go to the same place to vote. Some people go to churches and vote. Mr. Talk, some go to churches and vote. They don't have long lines. They ain't got no business with no machines inside no churches and no schools.
You know what, Baze? I agree with you on that. I said the same thing.
Why?
If there's a separation of church and state, why is the
separate,
church allowing?
Look, they don't
wait
separate.
Wait a minute. Let me finish. You know, why is it the church is allowing these candidates to come and stand up and they pull up here and say, vote for me, if there's a separation? The truth of the matter is there is not, and there has never been. Because if you look at back in the day, back in the 50s, 60s, that was the only place black candidates had to go to get the vote. They had to go to the churches. The church was the congregating place for the black community. And if you wanted to reach the black voters, that is where you went. See, where you went. Now, since everything's been desegregated, everybody come in our community and give us a song and a dance, and we clap and we shout and we praise and don't get the real message or don't get the real intent of what they're saying. But because they got a feel good message, we gonna go to the polls and vote for them. And
the thing on that separation, that's not in the Constitution. That's something else somebody else done made up. The Constitution says Congress shall not respect a religion. That's what it says. Now, if somebody take that, and they're talking about the Congress. They're not talking about the local government. They're not talking about – Constitution don't talk about the local government, state government. It says the federal government, Congress shall not respect the religion. Now, if that problem is going on elsewhere, somebody else made that up.
When Congress does not respect religion, when they choose the Supreme Court justices, who do they choose? They don't respect religion then when they voting for them.
Let me tell you something. You're talking about Congress and everybody else not supposed to respect religion. That's a lie because
Wait a minute, Ross. Before you get rolling there. All right, because I'm gonna just bring some more fire, put some more fuel on it. So, if that's the case, is that why the Republicans got a problem with Biden saying he's going to nominate a black woman for Supreme Court?
That problem comes in. Let me answer that. that violates the 1964 Civil Rights Act, where you say race identity shall not be a criteria for a job or position. He's violating that.
Oh, so now it's a violation.
If that's the case, every other president before him done violated.
You got that right.
Well, then they did
and
it. Before 1964.
Why is it such a big problem when he does it? And let's not even talk about what Trump did. Oh my goodness.
I have never known a president to use race or identity that way.
Of course you don't.
Well, just tell me when. I cannot say I'm going to hire Mr. Trump. I'm not going to say I'm going to hire Mr. Talk because he's a black man. I can't do that.
He wasn't president when he said he was going to do that in the first place. You see,
he didn't want his kids going to school with blacks.
Are we going to argue about this black history or talk about this black history and what's going on in the country?
Yeah, I got something to say about that.
It's a part of it all, isn't it? Isn't it a part of American history, regardless whether it's black history or whatever?
It's American history. You're absolutely right.
You talk about
black history. Is it accurate?
I was listening to somebody
the other day was talking about Bass Reeves. Bass Reeves was appointed as a deputy U.S. Marshal, not a U.S. Marshal, as some people said. And also, he doesn't fit into the realm of black history because Bass Reeves was a Creek Indian. Stop stealing other people's stuff.
Native Americans.
I said black history.
It's part of black history. You married to
a Hold on, y'all. Wait a minute before you go down that rabbit hole there, Maze. I hear you going. P. Ross was making some points there before I interrupted, so I want to give her a chance to finish her thoughts. Go ahead, P. Ross, are you there?
She's doing something.
Okay. Yeah, apparently. Okay. Go ahead, Mae.
Another thing that's always...
We are a part of everybody's history, if you really want to look at it, because we're mixed with everything and somebody everything. So what has that got to do with anything with people of color? Because it's what it's all about, are people of color. And anybody, whichever call yourself African-American, if you are a person of color, you have got a part of black history.
That's why some Nigerians don't participate
because you're short and you're not having no
black
Nigerian, nobody else. My friend daughter is married to a Nigerian. He considers himself an American. He don't consider himself an American person of color.
Stop right there. Now, what Maze, you said something that's very important. And once again, y'all know how I am on labels. But you said it. She married to a Nigerian. He considers himself a what?
An American.
Not a Nigerian American. You know, an American. You get my point here?
You have to have citizenship to be over here in the first place.
Okay.
No, you don't have citizenship to be here.
What do you do if you don't get your citizenship to be here?
You can't come from Nigeria
and be here. Can you, Mr. Talk?
Yes, you can on a work visa.
Work visa is not citizenship.
He didn't say it was.
Said Bass Reeves was a former slave.
You had Indians that were slaves. He was a Creek Indian. His mother was Creek.
The Washington Post is saying that he was the first African American. So now there you go.
What I'm saying is it's not true. He was a Creek Indian. Jake Simmons out of Texas, your state, Eric, he was also Creek.
he wasn't 100%. He had to have been, had some black, because if you look at his picture, you can see it. That he, so he might have been part of
his nation.
He wasn't 100%.
His nation. His nation was Creek, just like Creeks today. If they commit a refraction in the state of Oklahoma,
he does not look like a Creek Indian in his pictures. That
don't mean
like
how they look.
That
don't mean.
That
don't. Sarah Reckner, who was the richest
in Crawford County.
Sarah Reckner, who was the richest female in the country at that time, look at her. She's black. She's a Creek Indian.
She's a person of color.
Creek Indians weren't 6 feet 2 inches, and that's what he was. Okay.
Okay, and what?
Muhammad Ali went to Ireland. Muhammad Ali went to Ireland to look up his part of his biological tree.
He might have had partial Creek Indian. His mother might have been partial Creek Indian, but he wasn't 100% Indian, and that's just ridiculous, Bianchi, and you know it.
No, the nation that he is part of, that's what they say. That's what that nation says.
But that's not what everything I'm reading is saying. He was a former.
Who wrote
slave.
That? What you reading? The white man, right?
Check this out.
It doesn't matter.
You know, listen,
like
wait a minute, hold on. Wait, stop, Miss Lady. Stop, Miss Lady. Stop, Pianki. You know, I'm sitting here listening to this, and something popped in my mind. America is the only country that uses the color of your skin, basically. You know, everybody else, you know, they are African or Nigerian
right.
or whatever. Now, and I'm listening to this, and we're going about the color of somebody's skin or what their nationality is. And I'm thinking, you know, this goes all the way back to the beginning, 1619, when, you know, we were started being conditioned and taught that the color of your skin makes a difference of what your status is and who you belong to. But we all belong to the human race, so why are we going through this? But years of conditioning and propaganda just got us just going left and right, and we missing the big point. We all bleed red, you know, for the most part.
I'm just pushing
well, if
back
I could say
on,
something
he
on black history.
He was Creek Indian, and he wasn't Creek Indian. He may have had, I'm partial Indian. I'm not saying I'm, you know, whatever tribe I'm from. So what? You look at the man, if you look at me, I'm an African-American woman. I'm a black woman. And that's what he was enslaved because he was a former slave. He was enslaved. And he became the first black assistant deputy sheriff.
Hey, Eric, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Eric. You know Derek Jeter, the shortstop for the New York Yankees?
Yep.
My grandson's idol. Is Derek Jeter black or is he white? Look at him.
You don't really know.
Well, his skin tone would say he more Puerto Rican than anything.
Puerto Ricans, got a saying. Wait a minute. Puerto Ricans got a saying. Don't marry anything darker than you. But listen, Derek Jeter's skin is white.
Too. Don't marry anything darker than a paper bag. So what? That was a terrible
day. Okay.
But Mr. Talk, when you're looking at all them basketball players now and some of the football players, what do they look like, the biracial ones?
Derek Jeter, his father is black and his mom is white. So look at him in his skin color. I tell you something, Elon Musk, what is he? Eric, what is Elon Musk?
I have no idea what the white man is. I guess he's
Elon
a white man.
Musk is Elon Musk is an African.
Africa.
He was born in South Africa. John Kerry's wife.
No. They have the same thing they got over there.
John Kerry's wife, Teresa Carey.
Are we getting off the topic?
Teresa Carey, she's an African also.
So what that supposed to mean?
Okay, so what is the point of all that? What is the point of all
she
that?
They don't want to be called black. And I tell you something else. Africans don't want to be called black. Like you say, only in this country, only is this country, is that a issue.
No, no, no.
I look at the people go all the way back in the ancient time and say, look at there. There we are right there. That is not true.
Because of the political economic status of the African-American people here. Because if things were different, the black people had the same socioeconomic political clout that white people have, they would love to be called African-American. So
but black people, you have blacks in this country that look at. I tell you what.
Let me explain.
Let's talk some black history real quick. Let me
talk
about
Harriet. If you look at your birth certificate, can I say something? If you look at your birth certificate,
how you gonna say? Can I say something? Keep talking.
Oh, okay.
Let Bianchi finish, and then you can say what you want to say. Okay.
Let me. Okay. Let me talk about. Let's look at Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman. Will you, Eric? Did you tell me to go ahead?
All right.
Go ahead.
Bianchi.
Disrespectful.
Go ahead,
Bianchi.
Go ahead.
Excuse me, Bianchi. Harriet
Tubman.
Say something, and then May say something. To make sure that Miss Lady got an opportunity too. That's all I was saying. Go ahead, Bianchi.
Harriet Tubman was a slave in Maryland. And when she found out she was going to be traded off or sold off, she escaped. She left. And she went to Auburn County, New York. Her husband in Maryland got killed in a fight. She married another black man who was 20 years her junior. She went there. She bought land. And she started putting that land into production, producing vegetables. She also had a brick building, production business.
Mm-hmm.
She had a very large boarding house that, although it burned down, she turned around and rebuilt it out of modern masonry material. She received a pension from the United States military. And also, the husband that she married, since he served in the military and passed away, she received his money. Harriet Tubman was a slave and bought all that. She was richer than probably 80% of whites in the United States at that time. Nobody talks about that. Is that not part of history?
Well, Bianchi, you just made the point. They don't want you to know that part of
Thank
history.
You.
The only part of history they want you to know about Harriet Tubman is she led the Underground Railroad. But yeah, there was a lot of more to her.
And also, she was a nurse. So what did that got to do with all of what he just said? But what I'm saying, when you look at your birth certificate.
And also, she was a spy.
It says, if you look at your birth certificate, it says, what, Bianchi, what do yours say? About you.
Well, I guess I got my birth certificate right here in my back pocket.
You're going to be a Negro, you're going to be colored, or you're going to be black. Which one is it?
That depends on when you were born.
It's either colored or Negro. Negro or colored.
That's right. So who determined what you're supposed to be?
Being Negro, look, you can be Negro, but you can't be Negroid.
Ain't nobody saying nothing about no Negroid. I said, what did your birth certificate say?
You can be Negro, but you can't be Negroid.
And you don't know what the
No, I'm not ashamed what my birth certificate say.
Okay.
In fact, I got my birth certificate right here. My birth certificate, my U.S. passport says Bianchi Vancoli Kofi Nefekari. It says United States of America, U.S. citizen. That's
we asked you about your passport. You ain't on the passport. We asked you what did your birth certificate say.
Well,
not
I had
passport.
To produce the birth certificate in order to get the passport.
I
do you know how that works?
Hold on, wait, stop. Everybody know. Maze, what point are you trying to make here about asking him what it says on his birth certificate?
It depends
on when he was born.
Is it all, I know what I'm saying. It's all kind of people. Some people are ashamed of what their birth certificate say. You want to know what mine say? Color. Now, what do yours say? And my passport ain't had nothing to do with what I'm asking you about a birth certificate. And then when you fill out a job application, what do it say? What do it ask you? Is it African American?
I ain't never, Yeah, unfortunately, I ain't never had to fill out no job application.
Yeah, I bet you didn't. You ain't had no job then if you didn't have to fill out one. Oh, you one that went in there and talked to the boss and he just looked at you and said, people don't know what he's doing, I'm going to hire him. Or one of them that going there, yes, sir, master. Or somebody that knew somebody. You did an apprenticeship.
In, the majority of my life, I was
going.
The boss.
All
right. You're right. And man, so what does that got to do with it?
So, okay. So yours says color. Some others going to say Negro. Some going
to
say African American. Some going
to
say black. I mean, yeah. It just feeds into the stereotype I was talking about earlier where we have to be labeled by the color of our skin. And honestly, yeah. We're not. We all bleed. We all run fevers and die and all that good stuff. And we're human. But
a human being.
We're American.
You're right.
And
Eric,
we're American.
And they have a problem
United
with
States
people of color.
Live on a continent called America.
Exactly.
They're screwed up. And that's what it is.
Yeah. Somebody in the chat room said the term Negro is a curse. Negro and Necro are identical. Well, I guess you can feel that way. I personally don't feel that way. I don't pay attention to curses and it like that. That makes no sense to me. I think certain terminology used and viewed as in a negative aspect because we have been taught that is the case. Like black cats. You know, black cat, don't let a black cat cross your path. Heck, I ain't got nothing against no black cat. As long as he don't bother me, I won't bother him. You know what I mean? You know, it's just a stupid, I ain't going to say stupidity, but it's the little things like that that make you realize that, wait a minute, we need to do some rethinking of some of these things right here. Just because they've been taught to us over years, 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 don't mean we can't change what that means now. You know, but there's so much friction and fighting going on back and forth about, you know, oh, we can't let this happen. Well, we can let this happen. We can let this slide. Oh, we'll give them this. That'll make this go away. And we just recycling everything year after year and making no progress. Yeah, so.
But I'm saying
that. Yeah, they lie about stuff.
But, Mr. Talk, if you look at the news,
what
did you see up on that? If you look at the news, it's still around. Why? It was on the Capitol that day.
What news?
Wasn't it? Oh, you didn't see it. Oh, that's one picture you didn't see. I guess it was a picture they had up there, that noose they had, saying my hang back then. That noose that they had sitting up there, a noose.
Well,
they hang people with, yeah.
Well, they hung white people.
That ain't what I asked you, nothing about no white people. See, there you go again. I'm saying that is still there.
I seen the noose. The last noose I saw, a white woman hanging by one.
I would like to know, yeah, they did. They hung John Brown too, didn't they? Because
they hung a lot of white
folks. So what did they got to do anything?
Yeah.
Didn't they hang him because he was doing right?
You the one brought it up.
So then that's what I'm saying. That noose was in that rebel flag. That was up there too. They can't explain to their children why them people had that stuff up there. And then they want to take stuff out the classroom. Like it's in there.
If you want that in your classroom, you can have all that you want.
It's all
our fault.
I don't have to have it in my classroom.
Well, you don't want to teach your children.
You just want to ignore it.
Look, wait a minute. Remember the 70s? What is it? The 70s? When they had when was the Dukes of Hazzard on? The 70s, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah.
And General Lee riding around with the big Confederate flag on the top of the car. Nobody was complaining about that because everybody tuned in to watch the Dukes of Hazzard because they only had a couple of channels to watch anyway.
It was
a good show.
I like that charge.
I mean. But nobody really paid attention. Flag on top of the car. General Lee, did they? Nope. 0-1. Now here we are in 2022, and yeah, it's a problem now. Now you're missing my point here, Maze. My point is you didn't even pay attention to it. You know, that's like I said about those statues. If you didn't go on a school trip or something about a lot of those statues, you didn't know who the heck them people were. You just walked by, oh, that's a statue. Oh, I'm going about my business. You know, and what I'm saying is, you know, yes, we're getting better. We're becoming more intellectual. We're becoming more astute about what's going on as far as history and things like that. But at a certain point, we're getting a little ridiculous with this thing. You know, it's the thing to fight a battle and win the war, or you know, win the war and lose the battle. Choose your poison. You know, I may have said that backwards, but my point is this. You know, eventually we're gonna have to realize that what a lot of the problems that are happening now are self-created. We are humans, are self-creating them things ourselves, and until we figure out how to not create so many dang on dumb behind problems, we're going to keep going through this.
As Americans.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Because when I told you I know Robert E. Lee's great-granddaughter, and his statue was sitting up there, she was explaining to her by her grandmother how he got there and how did she become his granddaughter. But Bianca don't want to talk about stuff like that.
What?
Robert E. Lee was one of America's greatest generals.
To you, he was.
He performed. He performed exemplary in the Mexican American War.
He performed a lot of things with women too, unwillingly. Just like we see one now. That's why they ain't sitting up in court doing the same thing he did. But as I'm saying, Robert E. Lee's granddaughter, and I was laughing at her. I said, they took your granddaddy's statue down. Did you see it? And she
them
said,
soldiers,
yes.
Those were American
and
soldiers
they don't want
the
story
that
told
performed
about that either.
Suspended in the wars of the United States. George
and what was the
Patton was
and what
another.
Was the, and I think you, the North and the South fighting each other, you thought that was a great thing too. And we weren't even, had nothing to do with it. I guess you enjoyed that one too. And that's
mean,
what
you're
doing
now.
We?
Who is we you talking about? You had black. You mean black soldiers? You mean soldiers with black skin? They fought on both sides. You had
like
the Indians that fought for the Confederacy. You had Jews
that
fought for the Confederacy. You had Mexicans that fought for the Confederacy.
You ain't gonna get nobody upset.
Well, he's right though. He's actually right. But anyway. All right, we got 12 minutes left, and we're not going to do no overtime, so we're going to let everybody get their last words in because this should be interesting, to say the least. So we're going to start with Miss Lady because I heard her back there trying to get trying to say something. So go ahead, Miss Lady. You have the floor.
I think the convo just got, took a left turn. I don't know how that happened, but anyway, I just want to say, stay around, have a great week. That's it.
All right. Thank you. All right. Come on, Maze. Oh, hold on. Let me get you open here. All right, go ahead. I was saying
about history. If history, there's already given the people that land back in California that they've been trying to get back for 97 years, a whole lot of stuff that happened is going to happen. They're going to make it to the movies. It's going to be on video. Just like you can go back and look at 1928, you can go back farther and farther than that if you want to. They're never going to get rid of history. I don't care what they – and when you talk about South Africa – The Caucasians went over there, South African took over, and so the black people trying to take their land and stuff back over there to Pionkey, if he didn't know that or not. That's why you see some of them that don't look like us coming out of there. And all the names, even names. So as I say to Pionkey, he's full of it. And keep on drinking them Trump sodas. And that's the biggest problem in the country, and the real too. That's why we're in the situation we're in today. Have a good one.
All right, thank you, Maze, for that. All right, Pionkey, you're up.
You know, I like to tell history, especially about the white male that was forcefully injected with malaria back in the 1930s. I can give you the name of the doctor that you want to. Forcefully injected with malaria. Or to rebut, this story about school segregation came about with Brown versus Topeka, Kansas in 1954. Well, that's just not true. School segregation, desegregation, the desegregating of public schools did not occur with just Brown versus Topeka, Kansas in 1954, which was eloquently argued in the Supreme Court by Thurgood Marshall, by the way. It happened back in 1869 in Omaha, Nebraska, led by a black person by the name of Edwin Coverall. 1869 is when the first government desegregation order was put out where blacks could go to school with whites. Eric, one lie cannot replace another one. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Pianke. All right. Here we go. P. Ross, you have the floor.
Hi, Toppy. I know, as this lady said, we went left and everywhere today. But when we're talking about black history and why not, and the crumbs, the crumb here and the crumb there, regardless of how people think, regardless of what their philosophy is, their beliefs are, the truth is going to speak for itself. We only have the records of our ancestors, which was a verbal history about what went on in those days. That was lost. That was lost because people stopped telling the story because we were made to feel bad and ashamed. But like I said, there's nothing to be ashamed of. That is our history. That is what our ancestors went through. It is not a lie. The fights that we had in court and just to be called equals instead of to be called two-thirds or one-third of a human being, to always be seen less than, that is a part of our history. That also is a part of American history that cannot be delineated by you giving it a title as critical race theory. We always try to negate the fact when it comes to people of color. But if a Caucasian person said, then I guess it's supposed to be true. I guess we're supposed to be accepting it at face value. We can no longer do that. We can no longer do that. Because it's a shame even now, you know, even now in 2022 when our children have to go in museums and have to go in different places and say, well, where are all the black people? In this decade, in this century, in this time. The one thing we won't be is like Bob Marley said, you know, you can't erase us. We're going to always be here. And Marcus Garvey said, a people without the knowledge of a history, you know, it's like a tree without water, a tree without roots. So regardless of what anybody tries to do, as long as there are so-called black people, African Americans, people of color, there will always be a history. As long as we have a voice, as long as we can teach our children our history, American history in this country, and not just here, from every ethnicity that we emanate from. There will always be black history. We ain't got to have a month. We ain't got to have a day. It's in us. When you see us, you see history. You ain't got to acknowledge us. You ain't got to acknowledge the great things that we do. But that does not mean, and it does not negate that we have made in this country, in this world at large. Because everywhere you look, everywhere you look, you see me. Everywhere, in everything, in technology, in science, from the greatest job to the least job, you see me. And you see us excelling against the hardships and against the systematic barriers that have been put in place. You see us excelling over all obstacles. Now, can you say that about you? That's all I got to say.
Woo! You said enough. Good Lord! All right, thank you, Ross, for that. I really appreciate it. And we'll be talking to you shortly. All right, so what a great show, y'all. 5 minutes left. See, can I talk this fast in 5 minutes? All right, so that's what we got for you today, and I'm glad everybody joined in. be wise as serpents. Thank you for joining us in the chat room. It's been fun. Short thing about Black History Month, okay? It's in February to celebrate the birthdays of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. That's why it was chosen by Carter G. Woodson in 1926. You know, that's why he chose it. That's why he chose the month of February. So just a little history. But I agree, you know, we just going to have to start teaching our own. You know, there's movements across this country to stop the teaching of real history in school, besides American history and in cases of Texas history or Florida history, but not American, real American history. Everything, you know, not just black history, not just everything. You know, yeah, see, we can't solve some of these mysteries that's out there. But we're going to have to keep working, right? For those that have in the states, got your primaries coming up, if early voting going on, if you feel like voting, go ahead and do the thing. I'm not telling you to go and vote. You know, that's your choice, but make sure you know who you're voting for, okay? That's going to do it for me. We're going to get up out of here. Just remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with open heart, but make sure you're forgiving yourself first. And the biggest, best thing, learn to laugh at yourself. You can laugh at yourself. Everything else is just groovy. Hey, we're getting up out of here today, man, with some Mr. Jameson Ross and Call Me. I love this song right here. Hey, I'll talk to y'all later. Have a great week. We out.
I get that feeling when she calls me. My baby just calls. Nothing but melodies on my mind. Searching for a vibe. Guess who rings my line? If it was anyone else but you, I would let it ring all day, yeah, all day. You are the only one who can call me this way. I get that feeling when she calls me. My baby just called me. I get that feeling when she calls me. My baby just called me. There is something in you that calls out to something in me. Oh, yeah. Quite a lot from your heart to mine that only we see. Yeah, yeah. Reaching out from the deepest connection, a spiritual place. Oh, spiritual place. You are the only one who can call me this way. I get that feeling when she calls me. My baby just called me. I get that feeling when she calls me. Maybe. My sweetness just called me. Catch a vibe now, catch a vibe. She rings my line, yes she does. I get that feeling when she calls me. I get that feeling when she calls me. She says, what you doing?
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.